Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on Bravo and beyond. I'm Ben Mandelker of the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Hey, you know what? I started up my own Real Housewares of Kitchen Island Instagram because I think it's probably easier for people to watch it on Instagram than on YouTube sometimes. So go check that out. It's Real Housewares. And also check out GameBrain. What?
Awesome.
Oh, I thought you said dumb. I was like, excuse me.
Excuse me. Dumb. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, it's just all the episodes are just right there. And I think that like it just might be easier. I figured why not? Why not put it on Instagram? Because I had some coffee and I had an hour to kill. So I put all the episodes on Instagram. You can watch it, go follow, because, you know, why not? And joining me is the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man, my work husband. He's hilarious. I love him. Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Batch Roast podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, how you doing, baby?
Doing great. Doing great. How was your weekend?
You did a really great newsletter also this month. So everybody go sign up for that. It's very funny.
Yes, the newsletter, there was like a little bit of a break on the newsletter for pure laziness. I mean, it's a pandemic. I think we're allowed to be lazy on a newsletter. But a new one went out over the weekend. It was really fun. If you missed it, just sign up. You on our website, watchacrappens.com, there's like a newsletter sign-up link. And I'll try to sort of like resend it later this week to people who didn't get it or maybe missed it in their inbox. So if you get it twice, I'm really sorry. I'm just trying to make sure that everyone can support other women, okay?
Support other men being women, guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. And our Discord channel is really doing, or server is doing really nicely. It's so cool that people are now like showing up from all around the world. We have people on there from... we have someone in the Netherlands who has not gone and found Yolanda Foster's home, but hopefully she will. And we have someone from Norway. We have people all across America. It's really, really cool. So go check that out. You can subscribe on patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And if you support at the Discord level or higher, you can access the Discord channel or server. So it's really fun.
You should try and access it at the Crappens on Demand level, because we do our videos and live shows and all that stuff from there. Yeah. Well, our live quarantine shows anyway, where we stream live. So those are a couple of weeks. There's also masks you can get over at crappensmerch.com and all that. And that's enough shilling of us. Let's go shill some of you. How about that? Some of you today.
Yeah, we're just trying to give a little shout out to our, we've got a lot of listeners who are either out of work or their businesses are really suffering or struggling because of the pandemic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we have asked people, if you write to watchwhatcrappens@gmail.com and put in your subject, small business shout out, we are trying to give you a shout out on this show. And we definitely also are really interested in amplifying Black voices and Black businesses. So definitely... also put that in your subject in some form, so that way we can give you definitely a special shout out. Here's one from Amanda, who she is trying to start up an ice cream making business, and she's starting with a YouTube channel and an Instagram where she's showing people how to make ice cream, which is like truly, I mean, she's doing God's work. Okay, so go check out youtube.com/AmandaBerg. That's Amanda B-E-R-G, or go check out instagram.com/_theicecreamqueen. So go check that out to learn how to make homemade ice cream. I guarantee it'll probably be worth it.
And Lori's daughter-in-law has a business on Instagram called Charcuterie to Go. Ooh. And guess what they have? Charcuteries to go, guy. She's in Seal Beach in old California and can deliver, you know, depending on your distance. So just look her up. You can go to charcuterietogo.com, okay? Or on Instagram, look it up, charcuterie_to_go. Okay, go look for her and support other women's charcuteries.
Yeah, charcuterie and ice cream. It sounds like whoever supports these businesses is going to have a wonderful evening in.
Yeah, it's a very, very fancy business. Okay, so today we have Real Housewives of Potomac.
There was almost a national emergency. I don't know if you saw this, but T'Challa escaped. Did you see this? Did you hear?
I did see it, and everybody's super sad for Monique and her bird that escaped. And, you know, guys, I can only give you one piece of advice. Birds fly. Okay, they fly. Birds are not meant to just, like, sit around your house on your shoulder looking at the fish tank in your living room. They fly, and they will fly away. If they see a tree, they'll fly after it, okay?
Yeah. That's what they do. Did you learn nothing from Nelly Furtado? She's like a bird. She only wants to fly, okay? Like, that's literally... The most basic concept of birds is they just want to fly, and they just want to fly away usually, too.
Yeah, and you know, you see a bird on a leash, and you're like, a bird on a leash? That's called responsible parenting, okay? Yes, yeah. Maybe it looks stupid. Maybe it does, but you know, that's how you keep your birds. Now, that said, I'm a pet lover. I'm a lover of pets. I've had all kinds of pets, and you know, it's very sad. So our heart goes out to you, and I hope you find T'Challa.
Well, guess what, Ronnie? This story has a happy ending. T'Challa flew home.
The bird came back, girl. We'll never say that birds don't know when they're fucking rich, okay?
Yeah, T'Challa made it back. I think this is like brand new news. I think this is like within the past like hour or something like that. I just saw it somewhere on social media that T'Challa flew home. T'Challa must have realized it was way more satisfying to shit on Monique's shoulder than it is on just some random branch. So,
well, yes, birds are like humans. Like, you go out into the real world. It's like Lisa Rinna's daughter. You go out into the real world, and you're like, this sucks. I'm rich. I'm going to go back to the rich place. And you go back home, okay? That's what you do.
Yeah, T'Challa's bird modeling career just never quite took off. And so T'Challa came back and now is looking for a new home within Monique's home.
Yes, she's going to look for a new house within Monique's home and come out with like an offshoot of White Girl Rosé, team up with Fat Jewish and make a go of it, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny because our life is so silly. I was actually thinking before we started, oh no, what do we do about T'Challa? How do we broach this subject? I don't want to talk about a fucking lost bird. And then I'm going to make jokes about it, and then people are going to be upset that I made jokes about a woman in pain. Ben's going to bring it up. I know fucking Ben's going to bring it up. It's like, if anybody dies, Ben will be like, guess who died today? You know, and then I'll say something stupid, which I always do, and then... that was actually a thought process, so I'm extremely happy that it all worked out.
Yeah, I mean, so T'Challa, basically Monique, it was 3 hours ago, Monique posted like a six items, you know, like a carousel. It's like six videos to announce T'Challa coming back, which, by the way, I think it just needs a picture. It's like a whole announcement. It's like, he came in over here or whatever. Yeah. I feel like T'Challa is probably the easiest parrot to find, though, because you're probably just like sitting around and then you just probably hear something like, what's for dinner tonight? Caw, caw, caw. It's like, who's that giant?
I want another baby. Caw, caw, caw,
you're working too hard.
The other birds are like, listen, these low things you're imitating. Get back home. You can't be in bird. You can't be in this tree. Okay, fucker.
Yeah, you're scaring away all the other birds. So anyway, T'Challa's home.
Okay, well, everybody, thanks for being with us today. That's all that happened.
I do want to say, though, also that, like, before T'Challa was found, I'm looking at her Instagram now, and, like, Monique has all these mournful photos of her with T'Challa. Actually, they're IGTV installations that are like, I will remember you. Yeah. They're all so serious. Like,
what is her farewell to T'Challa. Is it just Monique Samuels? What is
it? Mrs. Monique Samuels.
Mrs. Monique Sam.
Like, she literally has a... Yeah. It's like a very...
She does. I love her very serious face posing with the bird on her shoulder.
She's very serious right now. She's drinking some wine. She's waiting for the followers to come up. And,
Hi, everybody.
Do you hear her talking?
Yeah.
Hello, 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 hello.
She's like... All right, she's good.
With this situation,
this is an hour long
anniversary party and Charisse being present.
Oh, okay. Never mind. She's not talking about just T'Challa.
Well, I saw also this is about Monique. So, you know, I'm reading the Facebook where I get all my news, my important news source, Facebook groups. And Someone posted that Monique is coming out with a new book about potty training. I mean, you got to hand it to Monique. Oh, it's here on her Instagram. Potty training, mommy and daddy. Because last week on the show, she was very, you know, very good about saying, my baby was potty trained in 5 seconds. I just said, go on the toilet, and he did it. Look, he's going to do it right now on camera. Go potty. Go potty. And also, she got in that her bird was potty trained, and her bird knew how to go. Go be potty trained as well. And to find out that that was all, like, her big scheme on selling her new book about potty training. I mean, that's some good housewife shilling right there. Love it.
There really is. There really is. Well, not for lazy poopers. That's what I call it.
Yeah, her big plan for the season. You know what? I'm going to sell a book about shitting.
I wonder why T'Challa got the hell out of there. T'Challa's like, I just want to shit on a statue for once, okay? Can I shit on a statue or a clean car? I don't want to... This sheet gives me no satisfaction.
Does anyone in life get this much shit over shitting? My God, I mean, she is like, bird. I mean,
like, why are you trying to potty train a bird? The bird is already potty trained. It's like it poops on cars and statues. That's where it poops, okay? Oh, or your head.
So funny. That's okay, all. So like here we are. Real Housewives of Potomac. So we get opening lines this week.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's soups.
Giselle's is, I'm still the baddest thing walking, and the most anointed one talking.
Why is Giselle always like, I'm still... still, it's me still. Every one of her lines is like, well, guess what? The word is still on the street. And yeah. I'm still talking. Nah.
She's like, it's like really important for her to assert like the continuity of her state. I am still in my house.
Yes. She has like the traveling line that just, it never ends from season to season, you know? You can just yeah, play it.
It evolves.
One continuous line. And then Karen, honey, the Grand Dame doesn't repeat history. She makes it. And then Karen just poses so funny. She like sticks her nose all the way up in the air and just kind of looks down like nostrils forward.
That's very well. She does have a scent. So nostrils forward is kind of her thing. Monique is. Maybe if you try a little harder, you wouldn't have to try me. Is that like a code? Like, is that some sort of like coded message for T'Challa and his potty training?
I'm just shocked that it didn't have to do about poop or potty training in some way. That was the biggest shock to me.
Yeah, she should have said, I might not be number two in the group, but I am. And she could. Just take it from there. Just say,
or like maybe if you try to like aim a little better, you wouldn't have to aim at you or something.
The poop when you're around me, the poop never hits the fan, only the toilet.
I lift up other women and seats.
No accidents here. Yeah. I'm on purpose.
Or I guess I was thinking of mine from a man's point of view, so I should think of it from a woman's point of view and say, don't put down other women, put down seats.
Ooh, yeah. Right? Or
that should have been flush. It. Just it should have just been
that's like Craig. Did we talk about Craig Shep and Austin, by the way? Did we mention this? Did we give an update? I think we talked about how they posed together.
I don't know anything about them.
You know, like back in like mid-July, they posed together, the three of them in a gym indoors with that masks on. Did you see that picture?
And no,
people
were
like,
wear your masks.
Wear your masks. Like, why don't you have masks on? You're indoors. And then like 10 days later, reports are that Austin and Craig have coronavirus, which I'm not laughing at coronavirus, but it's like, this is why we wear masks. And I don't know why I thought of that. Oh, that's right.
I love that Shep escaped that. Like, the coronavirus probably is telling everybody it got Shep. It's like, oh my God, guys.
No, I just thought it just was like, wow, rich people really can get away with everything.
Yeah, I guess so. So then we have Robin. I may live in a house full of ballers, but I never get played.
And she means that like, Like, you're not going to play me. You're not going to make me the fool. But she actually means, like, she is the one game that doesn't get played in the kids' room.
I don't ever get played.
I'm the only game that never gets played.
Hey. She is that sad toy that came from, like, a relative. It's like that, like, that one wooden block toy that's from, like, 1935. That's, like, not nearly as cool as your G.I. Joes or He-Man figures.
Or Boggle. Like, everyone has Boggle, excuse but no one wants me to sit there and play Boggle. It's a bullshit game.
No,
the
it's
only
a great
people
game
who like Boggle, and I'll bet you do this, and I'm sorry to be accusatory, but the only people I've found that like Boggle have memorized every two-letter word in existence just to be little fuckers and be stupid.
No, that's not true. First of all, with Boggle, I don't think you can even do a two-letter word.
Or three, whatever.
Three. But here's my only issue with Boggle is that when you shake up all the letters, I find it to be like annoyingly loud. I wish they sort of put some padding in there because it really rattles me every time that you shake it up. But it's a great game, and if you don't see the value of Boggle, then sir, I don't even know why we're podcasting.
Well, I have it, but I never play. I always look at it like I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to deal with it.
The sound
I don't
want to
deal
annoying
with some smarty pants. Like, I'm smarter than you. Basically,
so you're basically saying that Robin is your Boggle.
Yes, Robin is the Boggle in my closet.
I feel like Robin's not Boggle because she doesn't make as much noise as Boggle. I feel like Candace is Boggle. I think if Robin were like a... Robin would be like, sorry.
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 Except she doesn't really apologize, does she? I guess she's more like... I don't want to say she's trouble because she's not... Trouble. I think Giselle's trouble. I don't know where she is.
She's operation. Like, she seems like she's really careful and slow, but then it's just like, woo!
Maybe she shoots in ladders. You know?
Like, oh, look, I climbed up a ladder. Oops. I slid down a slide all the way to the beginning.
She's like Monopoly, always trying to buy like the cheapest properties and stuff, and the game lasts so long. You're like, how long is it gonna take you to sell this fucking avenue? Oh my god.
I would love to dissect which housewife is which space on Monopoly, because just imagining Karen calling herself Park Place when she's really more of like a Vermont Avenue is like, just makes me so much, gives me so much joy. I took the Reading Railroad to get over here to Park Place, next to the luxury tax.
Oh, one day. So Ashley is like, now that I've got my baby, that's the only crap I take.
Oh, so she got the poop. She got the poop one. That's why Monique's
maybe actually. That's why. Yeah, maybe there is like a poop tagline fight behind the scenes. Like, we can't have two poop taglines, Monique. You have to change yours.
Monique was probably like, I don't take any crap. I'll just show you where to put it.
And so, Candace's,
I didn't realize it at the time, but reading it back now, having watched the first episode, I'm realizing that Candace actually steals Wendy's whole thing, which is so Candace. She's like, reading is fundamental, and honey, I own the library.
Yeah, she steals it from this episode.
Yeah.
She's crazy. She does. Who does that? Get your own life, okay? Like, I don't have to take your... No, that's another shit one. Okay. Sorry, the show has me programmed to only think of poop now. I don't know. Something like, you can't hurt me. I've been hit in the head with a purse.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something that has to do with you, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Lines.
Exactly. And then we have Wendy.
And then Wendy is like, the professor has arrived and class is officially in session. Which, you know, I get what she's doing there.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to go to class. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just not a good way to introduce yourself. Like, class is in session. Gross. Boring. I'm texting. I'm going to be texting now through all of your scenes.
It's a very academic introduction because you have Karen talking about history. You've got Candace talking about the library. Wendy's talking about class in session. I mean, it's sort of like, it's like sort of like laying, it's like a college tour at this point.
Yeah. So then we go to a bus monument statue. Bum, bum, ba-dum. Bum, 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 ba-dum. And deer. We're at Karen's house.
And there's the deer, the Potomac
My
deer.
My little deer, yes. So cute.
So cute. So then we're at Karen's house, and we hear it's empty. It's the classic Bravo fake out. They just love doing this scene. And normally I would say, oh, okay, I'm so over the stupid, someone's working out, but they're gonna make it sound like sex. But in the case of Karen, it really worked for me. Ah,
Yeah. Oh. 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 Security.
Georgie. Doe. Just get terrified, Doe. And guess what? Karen is working out with the trainer, Georgie. Okay.
Yeah, no relation to the woman on Sisters. So so Karen's like, oh, stay in your lane, Georgie. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
You stay on your side of the couch lane. They were doing those push-ups off the edge of a couch, which, I mean, that's some rented furniture right there. Because nobody who just bought a nice expensive couch would be like, hey, let's do push-ups off the side of this couch while we're sweaty.
That's true. That is very true. Although, I think it was her way of showing, see, this isn't from IKEA, because if it was from IKEA, it would already be sliding halfway across the room.
It's from Rent-A-Room.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C., Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res. She's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews Sisters.
The Wyndham Beneath Our Wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
So then Ray comes in and he does like that classic old man dad thing. He goes, hey, that doesn't look too rigorous. And he starts like flapping his arms, like mocking them, like, oh, I'm a crazy old man. Oh.
And Georgie's like, I'm out of here. He's so like, he leaves.
He's like, there's a pizza on your step.
So they go to the kitchen and Karen's like, well, honestly, Ray, I like working out with George. It's important I do it because it keeps this for you.
He's like, uh-huh. Especially since you won't say the three words to me. Those three words. And he's like, okay. Okay, it's not the three words, but we'll work on that.
Okay. That's three words, isn't it? And then the guitar is like, the music on this show is one of the best on Bravo. The music department is one of the best on Bravo. I just love the music, especially their crescendos in this show whenever there's drama. It's like a full orchestra. It's not just that sad Beverly Hills that they put. It's like a full dun 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 dun.
I didn't even understand what she was getting at first, because when she was like, oh, three words, say the three words, I was like, I wasn't thinking that it was I love you, because I figured since they're already married and they've been married that she wouldn't be trying to coax out those three words. I feel like people say that normally when you're in the beginning of a relationship. So I was like, what three words does she want? Like, laser disc compatible or like...
Remote control, yours.
Fax cover letter.
Why use electricity?
Mr. Coffee arrived.
So he's like, okay, 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 that's three words, isn't it? And then he like unclicks his glasses because he's he's got those glasses that you like unfold.
Oh yeah, I didn't four even ways. Notice that. Yeah,
and
yes.
Then he kept, and like he shows his anger with her by constantly clicking his glasses. Like click, I'm angry. I was like, ooh, those Costco click glasses, anger, love it, Ray.
You know, dynamics have changed between the two of us lately. It's taken about 5 years, but he suddenly realized he's been on a reality show and it's ruining his life. And there's nothing more frightening than not hearing Ray say, I love you, baby. Oh, technically, that's four words, so I guess I'm just asking for more than I can even get.
I mean, there's nothing more frightening, and I've learned to fly planes with a man candy and almost got strangled by my own wig after being chased around in a plastic bubble at a barbecue with no napkins.
Nothing more frightening, but, you know, Ray and I gotta work this out. So here we go. I'm gonna work it out. Ray, can I get you some coffee? I'm working it out right now. Coffee, Ray. He's like, no, that's okay. Like, click, oh, click, you want me click. To clean your glasses? Can I clean your glasses? Can click, I roll up click, your socks? How about your socks? Okay, hey, there's a crumb near you. Mind if I come pick up that crumb?
If you don't have coffee, how am I supposed to make you swallow this French vanilla-flavored cancer in a bottle, Ray? Ray!
Ray, does it turn you on when I hold this creamer in front of me? Ray?
I know, I love a dramatic scene with a giant bottle of creamer.
Huge bottle. Just out there on the counter the entire time.
Oh, so then we go to Giselle going to lunch with Monique.
In the middle of a tornado. It is windy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So they've decided to be friends because yeah. It's Housewives, and you just kind of have to reset that shit every year. It's like, okay, some different people are going to be friends for no reason now, okay?
I love when Housewives do this. The folly of like a one season friendship. We saw it with Gretchen and Tamara first season. We saw it with Leanne and Brandy first season. We saw it. I don't know, other places too. I'm sure. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. There was a Kenya and
Housewives
Portia
trope. You know.
Yeah. Like a season where you decide to put aside your differences, and then by the end of the season, you hate each other again.
Yeah.
So for right now, Giselle has decided that she's going to be nice to Monique and just say Kiki a lot.
Yeah. She's like, you know, Monique says, I don't think we've ever just trusted each other. It's so weird, you know. I know it's probably on both sides, but when I hear the word Giselle, I just assume the worst. And Giselle's like, I appreciate your honesty. Yeah. But it doesn't make sense to me. We need to be able to ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-ki. And I love that they just sweep all these issues under the rug like they were never a big deal. You guys are horrible to each other. They're not just little issues. They're terrible.
They are horrible to each other. But the thing is, the reason why they're horrible to each other is based on kind of like nothing. It's just like, well, Giselle was essentially being a bitch to Monique. And Monique was like, fuck this bitch. And then the rivalry started, you know, but essentially it wasn't like there was any real thing that was done. It was just from that point on, everything has just been an ongoing retaliation. So, yes. So now they're going to be friends. And, you know, Monique's like, you know, I've always said, Giselle is much easier to get along with when she's getting that D. So she really took it to the next level and got that anointed D, power to the D.
So we good. And yeah. She's like, I'm really glad we're having this open dialogue. I mean, look, we both love Ashley, so that's something.
That's right. I do love their furniture. Beautiful, beautiful wrought iron accents. Oh, our castmate, Ashley. Yeah, she's fine, too.
So they talk about Ashley being depressed on Instagram.
Yeah.
And,
she doesn't want to leave the house.
Yeah, not wanting to leave the house. And, you know, this 2020's for you. I got good news for you.
I know.
That's you're never going to have to leave the house again, okay?
Exactly.
So Giselle's like, well, we should do a party for her. You know, let's just use that because we all have to get together at some point anyway, seeing as how we're on a television show. So let's just do it for Ashley. Might as well.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to do a coming out of the house party for Ashley. And Monique's like, okay, great. And we'll just do finger food because I want to invite Candace, so we probably shouldn't have any utensils there.
And Giselle kind of cops to some stuff, which is rare. She's like, Ashley went through a whole lot last year. And all of us contributed to our opinions of that. And then we see, you know, like all the clips of, you know, calling like, Michael a
if you're
sexual
gay, cool. If your wife wants to be a beard, cool. Are you okay with butt squeezing?
But Candace was the worst. So if anyone should apologize, she should apologize.
Yeah. I thought that was funny. I like that she just sort of, you know, sugarcoated their version, or not even sugarcoated, but made it seem like, yeah, we definitely put her through the paces. And they're saying like the worst things about their marriage. Like, but Candace was really jabbing the most.
Yeah. Candace was the worst.
But Giselle, her whole issue with Candace is that Candace doesn't own anything that she ever does, which is funny because Giselle and Candace were sort of buddy-buddy last season, so it's funny that Giselle seems to really be so annoyed with her this time around, you know? And yeah. Monique tells us that she and Candace used to have had their issues last year, but they've patched things up and they're in a good place, and, you know, she feels like Candace has really grown and changed, which is great, like, foreshadowing for the disaster that will happen later this season.
Yes, and here's Giselle being very Giselle. She's like, okay, yeah, I will now plant seeds to make you hate this woman, which will last the entire season, so mm-hmm. I can concentrate on my house. Yeah. So she's like, I found it interesting that Charisse was there the other night. And Monique's like, yeah,
first time that's ever been said.
Yeah, true. And Monique's like, who invited her? And she's like, Candace did. Dun, 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 dun.
So Charisse has been spreading damaging rumors, and Candace knows, but Monique doesn't understand why she would invite her, you know? So she's already getting really, really annoyed. And Giselle's like, listen, if it was my party, fine. I love Charisse. I love me some Charisse. But when did Candace and Charisse become so cool? Why would she do that to you? Why would she do that to you? Monique would never do that to Candace. Why would she do that to you now, Monique? Think about that.
Yeah, and Monique is so easily swayed. She's like, yeah, I would never do that to her. Wait a minute. Like, she's mad now. And the producer asks Monique, what are these rumors? And she's like, well, other than saying that some boy came back to my husband's house a couple times, stole a golden harp and a goose, and now they're shocked that my husband threatened to crush this whole damn city, I'm not really comfortable saying anymore. So it's pretty nasty. Let's just stay quiet over here. And then we get the Top Chef, a zing of the knife being sharpened.
And then Giselle's like, okay, I'll just tell you. She's like, let's just tell it all. She's like, word on the street is Monique and her trainer were a wee bit close for comfort, and her and the dude were out in public together a lot, and were seen, and Big Boy found out, and Charisse has told people, much like I'm telling the nation right now.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, now I'm going to have to talk to Candace. Dun, dun, dun. So then we go to Ashley with her little tiny baby husband.
Her baby senior citizen.
Yeah. Her baby Michael.
Yes.
All right, then. All you right. Want to interview some secretaries? Let's do it.
Here's my next look for the book. All right, this says, I just peeped myself, Mommy. Could you please change the diaper? Teach that to your class.
Here's what I'd like to say, Mummy. Wah, 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 wah. All right.
Wah, 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 wah. I feel like they've been in this apartment for many seasons, and it was only until this episode that I realized just how hideous their front door is. Have you ever noticed it? Their wall is like this strange, it's almost like a navy, but there's like maybe like a tinge of green in it, so it's kind of not navy, and instead it's this like gross blue. And they added that texture. You know that thing that people do?
It's faux finish.
Is that what it's called? Faux finish?
Yes, where they get the sponge.
Yeah, they almost
they're like, I want my front door to look like a storm.
Yeah. It's awful. They have an awful, awful door/wall over there. I never noticed it.
Yeah, it's very like faux finish.
Yeah.
So lactation specialist comes over named Amber, and it's so funny how they treat this lady, because she comes on and she's like, hi, so good to see you, but they put subtitles on it like we can't understand her because she's a lactation specialist.
They also make her look crazy, and she's like doing like perfectly normal things. Okay, so I like famously, when it comes to female anatomical things, I often say the wrong things because I'm like a gay male, and so I'm just it's just like a part of the world that is unexplored to me. And apparently last week I referred to Ashley while she was pumping as milking. And I did it multiple times, which is hilarious. But one thing I do know is I do know that lactation specialists are like a real thing and like often used and often helpful. And it was just funny to me that Bravo just made this woman look like, oh, look at her. She's crazy. She's talking about nipples.
Yeah. She even has a little nipple pillow made out of yarn. She's going to eat it. Eat it, nipple lady. Eat it.
So then Ashley's mom, Ashila, comes over. This is when I think I noticed the door. And I was like, ew. And Ashley starts talking about how she's like, she panics when she goes outside because she's scared of the world right now. And they're both basically like, you have to go outside. Stop this. Stop.
Yeah. Confront your fears. Her name is Candace.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Candace and Wendy having lunch, and they just squeal at each other. And I'm very disturbed by Wendy's eyebrows. I can't quite put my finger on it, but they're kind of Sharpie-like to me. But overall, wow. Like Wendy. That's my only opinion so far. Wendy, it's still early for Wendy, that's all I have to say so far.
I don't understand what Wendy's doing on this show. I mean, she is a tenured professor at Johns Hopkins University. I mean, what is she doing here? Why is she doing this? Like, why is she doing this to herself? Like, you're going to ruin your entire trajectory. You're too good for this show, Wendy. Stop it.
Yeah,
stop.
And you're starting off being friends with Candace of all people. Well,
But she's smart. She waited until she got tenure before she came on any sort of show, right? Because then once you got tenure, you can't go in. Like, they can't get rid of you. So she's like, fuck it. I'm tenured, and now I'm on The Real Housewives. Woohoo!
So they meet for lunch, and Candace loves her, of course. She's like, she's black girl personified. She has a doctorate. She's a political commentator. We have politics in common. I'm like, no, she's on TV talking about politics because she's like, you know, really, smart. Really smart. You like went door to door selling cookies, you know, with Obama's picture taped on. Let's not pretend it's the same thing, ma'am.
Also, politics in common's a pretty, like... That's like a pretty broad thing to have in common. Oh, we both are in, like, well, I shouldn't say that because I there are a lot of people who aren't interested in politics. The point is this. I just feel like Wendy is just in such a different league from Candace. And I'm excited for her to turn on Candace because we know that's going to happen too. That's a classic thing. Someone new comes in and then meets the rest of the group and realizes that their original link is like worthless, and so yes. They stop hanging
like,
out.
Like
and
in real life, the one in a group who comes up and they're way too nice to you is usually a problem.
Okay? Yeah.
wait for other options to appear before, you know, just deciding you're going to have lunch with the same person every day.
Yeah. Okay?
Good old schoolroom tactics to learn. So she, and this is where she steals her whole thing. She's like, she can read a book, honey, and she can read you down, okay? And that will now be very similar to my opening line. Ooh.
She's like, she can read a book and she can read you down. But guess what? I am going to make that my identity now. So, ha. So, Wendy also has a new baby, in case you forgot from last week. And she tells a story about how when she broke water, when her water broke, she had water coming out in the car and in the hospital. So, that was fun. And then when she had her baby, she like has an Instagram video of her walking out of the hospital with the baby, just like flipping her hair, like whatever.
Yeah.
Made me like her. I liked it.
Yeah. It made me like her too. But then I remembered how much I hate Candace.
Yeah.
And it kind of ruined the whole thing. Cause she's like, yeah, you know, I think I'm almost ready because I just don't want to turn 40 and be like, oh my God, now I'm ready. And I have like two eggs left. And these people, it's always like, these people who turn 40 and then they release books that are like, it is amazing being 40 and I'm not sorry. Like the ones who shamed everybody, you know, it's like the Kyle Richards of the group who's like, I mean, having plastic surgery, that's a little unfair, girls. And then she gets like 10 new faces over the years as she needs them.
Well, Candace, she has insecurities about being a mom because she says, you know, my mom did the best she could do. But I can't help but be petrified because I don't want to make mistakes that were made with me, which is basically just a hugely passive aggressive attack on her mom. But at the same time, I did appreciate the refreshing honesty of acknowledging that she is like a huge mistake. Yeah, I did like that.
And so they order, and now here's another reason I like Wendy. She orders a full on sandwich on a hamburger bun with French fries.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, huge. All of this cast orders food that I actually want to eat, which is rare for a housewife show.
And there's so many crab cakes that go around on this show that, like, it really is, like, God, I have not had a crab cake in months, and I want one so badly now.
Yeah, so they start gossiping about the girls, and Wendy's like, you know, everyone was really pleasant to me, especially Karen and Monique, but I've met Karen before, and Candace is like, oh yeah, they call her the Grand Dame. She's like, yeah, she was trying to be really fabulous with me. She's like, hello!
Yeah, she's like, yeah, girl, you are not from another country.
Yeah. And Wendy tells us, yeah, I've known Karen for years, or for 2 years, but every time she sees me, she says, hi, nice to meet you. Like, hello.
Yeah, I love that Karen, of course, does that to Wendy. The person she should be, like, most impressed with, of course.
Yeah.
So then Candace predicts that Wendy and Giselle are going to get along, but she warns Wendy that Giselle likes to haze. And Wendy's like, don't haze me, baby. The hazing starts and begins with me. I'm a professor, and class is always in session. I will read you, so close that book. Like, see, again, that's Wendy's the shtick, the reading in the books. That's her shtick. Candace.
Yeah, Candace. And then Candace is like, well, she's happier when she's getting her grass trimmed. That means sex.
Speaking of grass getting trimmed, let's look at some fawns and some does eating some grass in Potomac.
Ba-dum-ba-dum. So we're Monique is with her kids in the kitchen, and she's like, okay, so no one's gonna ask how my day was? Nobody? And Melania's like, no one cares.
I mean, true words never been spoken. And then we see Robin in her closet. She's wearing a turban, and I guess she's trying to, like, clear stuff out of the closet, and she's like, thumbs up or thumbs down on this one? And her son's like, thumbs down. She's like, really? Well, what about this one?
Thumbs down.
Really? But what about this one?
Thumbs down, mother!
And then Karen and Candace are having lunch or dinner or something, and Candace is in a turban. Candace is just stealing everybody's thing this year.
Yeah.
So she's in a turban, and Karen's like, bartender, do you have truffle fries? No truffle fries? All right, well, I'll have regular fries. Do you have honey mustard? You don't have honey mustard?
I love just how, like, huffy she was being about these fries. Lady, you're at a, you're just, like, sitting at, like, a basic bar. You don't have any mustard.
And he's like, well, maybe we have any mustard. She's like, well, now we're killing the game.
This is how a boss lady gets things done. If you can't get truffle fries, get french fries. And then ask for honey mustard on the side.
You just got ledomed.
So Monique then sent, well, they're sitting there, and Monique sends a text, like the invitation to celebrate new Mama Ashley, and Karen's like, I smell a skunk, a big old fat one, a big old fat skunk. Oh, wait, no, it's the truffle fries. Oh, they're here.
You've had truffles. Le domed. So Candace is like, well, I'm a little surprised that I'm invited, but a new baby is definitely a launching pad for our relationship. I'm like, wow, you sound like me. Like, I wish I could get pregnant. That would fix everything.
Yeah, seriously. So, so now Ashley is getting a call from Monique. Ashley's at home. She's getting a call from Monique, and Ashley is like, doesn't want to leave her baby to go to the dinner because, you know, Ashley is clearly very depressed at the moment. And, you know, so Monique starts telling her that she and Giselle had a really good lunch, and that it's going to be really interesting working with Giselle on making this dinner happen.
Yeah. And then Oh, we go into movie mode where they're like, it's Potomac, but a film. Just kidding. Get the letterbox off. It's still just a TV show, guys. Juan's going to seafood.
Oh, yeah. So now Juan is now sitting down with Giselle at a restaurant. And he basically is like, hi, Giselle. I want to talk about Robin. You know, like, she doesn't know that you're here, right? You know, so they're trying to make it seem like there's some sort of secret conversation, some illicit secret thing, but we all know what this conversation is going to be about.
Yeah. Could you please tell her to stop wearing turbans? It's really a turnoff. I don't know how to tell her. So he's like, he starts giving his wedding speech. He's like, Robin and I have been talking about what we've been through. Yes, we've had our shares of ups and downs, but Robin knew from the beginning how important it was for me to be around my boys. And then she's always been my rock, and she was there when things hit rock bottom, and she's... Save it! Save it, yeah. Buddy. Okay, save it for the stage. I just want my fish sandwich.
Seriously. And Giselle just starts hiding behind a plate. She's like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Jesus, won't he do it? Jesus, won't he do it?
She's like, have you looked for a ringa? She had a big rock before, so let's double that. And if somebody named Jamal Bryant has this conversation with you, you say double it.
And he's like, oh, that's not really very Robin.
She's like, well, what are you going to do? Get her a fucking dump truck for her ring? No.
I know. Okay. Giselle goes, that's true. Robin is a simple girl. Get her a turban.
She goes, how many years have you known her? And he says, 24. And she's like, so 24 stones. It's like, yeah, but years change. Next year it's going to be 25. Yeah. What's that, the anniversary of how long I've known you? Where's my 9-diamond ring, Ben?
I'll send you like a Vermonster with 9 scoops of ice cream in it instead.
Delish.
So I would.
We
like
all know
that.
I'll wear that forever. So.
So Juan thinks it's great that Jamal and Giselle are back together, and you know, but you know, the one thing is about the girls, because you know, unlike Juan's kids who are like not fazed by any of this. You know, the girls have grown up without Jamal really in their lives and don't really trust him. And Juana's like, well, he cannot hurt mommy. He cannot. He absolutely cannot hurt mommy. She's like, well, he's clear on that. He's very clear. I'm like, okay, we'll check in about 12 months from now. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So then toilet flush. It's an Ashley scene. Oh, no, it's a Candace scene.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ashley. That was rude. Toilet flush. It's a Candace scene. So Candace comes out of the bathroom while Chris is cooking, and she's just peed on a stick.
Yeah, she keeps saying this. She goes, I just peed on a stick. He goes, pregnancy test? Mm-hmm. I just peed on a stick. Not pregnant. Well, congratulations. I mean, so
yeah, like, this is your story. This is such a Housewives story.
You peed on a stick, like
you're not even trying to get pregnant. This is so Housewives. Like, oh my God, I peed. Oh, next week I peed on a stick again. It's like, do something.
Doesn't care. He literally doesn't. He, if anything, he wants her to be pregnant. So when she's like, I peed on a stick, he's like, okay, I peed on a stick.
Yeah, and he's like, well, so are we going to change the plan, or what are we doing? We're going to have a baby? And she's like, well, this time I wasn't upset that I might be pregnant. He's like, how could you be pregnant? We don't even have sex.
Yeah. And by the way, while this is happening, he's making some sort of strange concoction, which, God, I hope that his cookbook plans are not still happening, because he sautéed spinach and onions and is like, laying them onto a bagel. So I'm like, what is he doing to this bagel? Something is going wrong right now. And then there's like shredded iceberg that's going down, and then eventually an egg, and then it winds up looking like a baked Alaska, but it's with a bagel instead.
It looked insane. Whatever it is ended up as a big triangle. Like, how did it end up looking like a blue salad, like a blue cheese wedge salad?
It was like a big white pyramid that was so white that it was like, it was like blown out on camera. Like, you really couldn't even see what it was.
Yeah, it was gross. So they talk about their sex life and how they don't have enough. And she likes to have it at nighttime, but he likes to have it in the morning. And he's like, well, at nighttime, you have to go take off your makeup. She's like, my lashes. And he's like, well, yeah, but then, you know, by the time you come to bed, I'm tired. So, really exciting scene there. Peed on a stick. So, next up, we go to this dinner party thing, or this lunch party thing for Ashley.
Yeah, and so Monique and Giselle are there first. And, of course, Monique has arrived with a not-for-lazy-mom's basket, which is like, I'm like, oh, God, it's back. We had a season without not-for-lazy-moms, and now it's back. It's officially back in a basket form.
Yeah, now it's got essential oils and poop pads for birds.
Yes.
Very, and very
corona.
Useful basket.
There was a corona in there, too, by the way.
So Giselle is putting nameplates. What am I saying?
Name tags. Place settings.
Yeah, whatever. Place you tags. Do it.
Names. They're, she's arranging seats. Place settings. Place seats. Place tags. Place. She's
you
putting
can't
the names
do it either,
on.
See?
She's putting names by plates. And then Giselle's also talking about, or she tells us that she met with Ashley earlier in the day, and Ashley had some interesting information about Charisse, and we see a flashback to Ashley saying,
Well, I heard that Candace and Monique had their falling out, and Candace made a huge effort to be friends with Charisse.
That was actually all it ended. That's where all that's it just ended there. I thought it went farther.
And Monique's like, I've been noticing things. We've been talking about rebuilding our friendship, but it's been me rebuilding and her receiving the benefits. Hello, Corona, bird poop pads.
So. I mean, last time I checked, Candace now knows how to pee on a stick, thanks to me, and I'm getting nothing out of it.
I stick trained Candace, and now look where I'm at.
So Monique is really mad that Candace is pursuing a friendship with Charisse, and the fact that Monique is getting this information from Giselle is like a dagger in the heart to her. Although, wasn't Charisse the one who brought Candace into the group originally? Wasn't that what happened? Or no?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember.
No, it was Ashley who brought her in because of, like, pageants.
Yeah, we're both young.
Candace and Charisse had, like, a moment when they really liked each other, and then they got into a fight at, like, a spa day when they went on that, like, spa trip or something. And Charisse was like, her mom probably bought the ring. Ha, ha, ha. Is that a pun? And Candace always hated her after that. Is that a pun?
So Karen arrives, and Rob and all the girls start arriving.
Hey. I've had a poppy seed in my teeth for the past 5 days, so if I'm puckering extra hard tonight, you'll know why. This time you're getting out, poppy seed.
So they sit down, and Ashley's like, wow, I'm so proud of... Candace and Monique being everybody's mad at each other here, and I'm just so proud of everybody. And Karen's like, I said, big fat skunk. Hell no, Jizzy is trying to rub elbows with my girl. And Giselle's like, no elbows. We're in a nice new place, okay?
Yeah. So Candace and Wendy like march on up and everything, and Ashley's nervous because Candace is childish and immature, but Ashley then says that she's indifferent and she's very happy now in life, except, you know, for the fact that she's terrified to leave her house and she has to stare at that hideous blue door all day. But, you know, other than that, she's very happy in life.
And she's got Michael at home.
But other than that, everything's great. It's going great.
So Monique's like, wow, it's your first time coming out after the baby. And then they bond over both having babies a week apart. Yeah. And Wendy's like, yeah, I just had my baby. And they're like, look at her. She's fine. She doesn't care about leaving the house. And Robin's like, yeah, you see the difference between a new mom and a three-time mom, huh? And Wendy goes, yeah, I just drop it like it's hot. And Monique's like, yeah, she just leaves that baby on the curb and comes to lunch. Like, fuck you, baby.
Wendy's like, I actually just already got a new degree in something. It was amazing. Meanwhile, Ashley looks so... I actually felt bad for Ashley. She looks exhausted. She looks overwhelmed. She does look like there is some sadness going on there. I really feel bad that she's going through that postpartum. And just looking at her versus Wendy, there is a huge difference.
Michael. So then they order... I mean, the year that she went through last year was harsh. You know, whatever was true with Michael or was not true, like just being the partner in that whole thing, yikes. I would stay in the house too. I mean, I get massively depressed over, you know, shit coming from, like when you get those emails from Amazon and they're like, well, your delivery was scheduled for today, but it's running behind. I mean, I will stay in the house for a week over that. I'm like, no one respects me.
As someone who's actually currently going through that, I really understand that very
well.
It hurts,
yeah. Man. So I can see. So yeah, she has a reason to be depressed.
Yeah, post-Gropham depression. So
post-Michael grabbing butt depression. All
right. That's right. So Ashley's going to be having a sip and see for Dean. And then, big news, everyone. Now you want to talk about getting potty trained. How about this? Ashley may need surgery on her booty hole because...
I have a tear in my butthole.
And then they show Giselle, right when she says that, eating a big thing of prosciutto, like curling up in her mouth. And the music's like, ba-da-ba-da-ba.
It was really unpleasant, but it was all worth it to see Karen go, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo.
Karen goes, I just know Botox is a miracle worker, but freezing a butthole is a whole other can of whoop-ass.
Yeah, Ashley's like, I want to make an announcement. I do have a tear in my anus, my actual anus. See, the first bowel movement after my,
see what it is, say the three words,
So how does the Botox help that? Like, do you freeze your butthole, like, and then it just calms your butthole around, and calms it down enough so that it can heal, so that you're not squeezing it? I mean, what does it do? I need to know what Botox does to your butthole. Someone needs to explain it.
No one needs to explain it, really, but because I feel like we're going to get, like, an awful explanation with photos, and I don't want that. But what I'm assuming that she had some sort of massive constipation, and the Botox was to sort of, like, chill things out so that way there could be, like, smooth
passage.
Here's
the answer. Okay, here's what I Googled. What does Botox do for your butthole?
Oh, good.
And here's the answer. It comes from thecut.com. Botox for buttholes. Yes, it's a thing. You know, Botox, like in your face, it paralyzes the muscles. So you get Botox in your butthole to paralyze your butthole muscles just enough that it doesn't hurt as much and makes it easier to insert something.
Mm.
Look at that.
Oh, so it probably hurts because she has a tear. It probably hurts every time she goes number two.
Yeah, it's LaMiller.com says the vast majority of them are about the use of Botox as a successful treatment for anal fissures, small tears in the internal lining of the anus.
Well, there you go. Well, we've learned a lot today, haven't we?
Yes, my line, if I was a housewife, would be like, I may be a butthole, but you're about to be schooled about buttholes.
I may be a butthole, but at least I'm not torn.
I'm torn, but my butthole isn't.
My butthole's like Natalie Imbruglia, torn!
Okay, that's enough butthole.
I don't know why I became Karen taking on the butthole drama. She was the one who was most opposed. So I was like, abort the conversation. Abort the conversation.
So they all toast to the new mother and everything. Okay, now let's start being mean to each other.
Well, then Giselle goes, well, to lighten the load a little bit, let's do a toast. They're like, did you just say lighten the load after all of that discussion?
So Candace is like, well, Robin, I did want to say to you that I was very happy that your husband came to the party. And Ashley's like, yeah, well, how was it? Did everyone dress up in their diamonds and denim? And everyone's just silent.
Yeah. Everyone's like, we were trying not to remember that awful thematic element of the party. So,
and Monique goes, well, it was fine, but I was outside dodging a walrus. I didn't know what she said.
She said, I was dodging a warthog. I was dodging a walrus. She sort of changed it up. I was dodging a warthog and a walrus.
So. I knew you'd know, because I was like, wait a minute. Did she change words? So Ashley's like, wait, did you say you're dodging a warthog?
Because normally Monique, she would actually have a warthog as a pet, you know, at this point.
Yeah. And she's like, no, I was dodging a walrus. And they start laughing because Ashley's like, oh, you mean Charisse?
Yeah. Candace is like, I didn't know you had that much beef. I really didn't know that. So Monique, of course, is pissed because everyone in the circle knew about this. And by the way, I actually didn't seem to remember these rumors. I didn't know about them. So the fact that Monique is getting so pissed is so counterproductive on her end, because now it's a storyline and now we all like, ooh, Monique and a trainer.
Yeah, she brought it on. I mean, Giselle brought it on, but she's making it much, much worse.
Yeah.
And then this is where we get the full orchestra of crescendo music, like, dun, 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 bum, ba-da-dum, bum, 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 bum. So
it's a regular Tchaikovsky moment. So Monique is basically like, Monique is, because Candace is like, I didn't know you guys had that much beef. And Monique is like, we'll talk later. And so Candace is now like, oh, say what now? Because this is what she tells us. She's like, you got a beef with me? Since when? I'm very confused. I'm like, Candace, stop it. Don't come to us. Don't come to us and like expect empathy from us. You knew what you were doing. You're like a little chihuahua. You always have been. And look, you barked up the Chris Samuels tree, and it's going to be not pleasant for you.
Yeah, and Monique just keeps taunting her. She's like, well, did you guys go on a honeymoon yet? And she's like, well, we're going to go on a honeymoon as soon as my mother leaves her kitchen window unlocked so I can get in there to get her purse.
Yeah. Monique's like, well, you should have taken the money for the party you threw and gone somewhere, you know, and gone and humped somewhere with no condoms.
And Wendy's like, you wear condoms? What? You need to consummate your damn marriage is what you need to do. Stop wearing condoms.
Yeah, and Candace is like, well, you all do pull out, right? You do pull out, and you do pull out, and you do pull out. And Wendy goes, Karen, you have sex? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to pucker up right now to a big pucker. The biggest pucker you've seen all night long. Mm-hmm.
And Robin, in her only diary room session of the night, goes,
oh, that was funny. That PhD comes in handy.
Monica and I have something to say. We feel like this group is a sisterhood of traveling no pants on account of anal fissures. Don't want to get messy. So we want to set the tone for the sisterhood and for friendship. And that tone is dysfunction. So on that note, apologies. They need to happen. Ashton and Candace, would you like to talk?
And Candace is like, okay, I would like for us to get to a place where we can respect each other and agree to disagree. Like, no. It wasn't just disagreements. Like, I love when it's boiled down to that. Like, let's just agree to disagree that your husband is fucking dudes, you know, and like assaulting people on camera.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, you know, Candace is like, I just don't want this conversation at the table. Because she basically just doesn't want to have an audience, right? Which in some ways, like, I understand that, but in other ways, like, she can't be held accountable if she does it, you know, privately, because she'll probably try to squirrel out of it and not give her apology. So that's exactly what she's trying to do.
Yeah, and she's also always coming for Ashley in front of the whole group, so it doesn't really always hold water with her. So that's Karen's true. Like, I feel for Candace because I've been a victim of gang banging. Like, what?
Yes, that's when you all gang up on a person and say, here, I'm going to spam your fax machine and you won't be able to do anything about it. It'll be all day long. Like, Ray, unplug the fax machine, but he'll be too busy clattering pots and pans on the stovetop to hear what I'm asking for.
They're trying to make you, you know, this is where people break you. They make you submit. They make fun of your wigs, call you Kern. It's pathetic. It looks cruel. And if I offer you a large bottle of coffee creamer, you say, I love you, damn it.
Do you know what it's like to show up at your birthday dinner and you don't get to sit in the middle of the banquet? Do you know that's what I call a gangbang?
So Robin's like, the best thing you can do is just say, I apologize for the mess and let's move forward.
And Giselle's like, yes, have you even said congrats on the baby? And Ashley's like, I don't want her talking about my baby. You know, the one that she said Michael didn't want to have with me, huh?
Yeah. And Candace is like, is this a dinner for Ashley or a Candace attack? Because if it's that, then let's talk about Ashley, okay? And Wendy's like, could someone pass the damn alcohol?
Yeah.
I went to school for too many years to be listening to this bullshit right now.
Yeah. And so they start yelling at each other. And Candace is like, well, why don't you just stop talking about it then? Like, just stop talking about it. And Giselle's like, no, we won't stop talking about it. Apologies need to happen. And Candace is like, you know what? Shut the fuck up. Fuck all of you.
To be continued forever and ever and ever.
TBC yogurt.
Yeah, a full-on disaster as usual. I mean, you know, one good point I thought that was brought up was that Candace said that she didn't want to talk about this when Ashley has an audience, and Ashley was like, but you have the audience too. Meaning, like, you can, if, like, we both can play the audience and, like, try to, like, it's, she basically shut up. And I just liked it. I thought it was a good point. Good point for Ashley. I don't know why I felt like really, like, focusing on it right now at the end, but
well,
I just.
Let's go deep on it.
Let's go deep on a really small moment that was inconsequential to anything. Anyway.
That show certainly cracks me up every goddamn time. So thank you for being such a good show, Potomac. Everybody, we love your little faces, okay?
Everyone, hug your parrots, because you never know when they're going to fly away, especially if you're being an idiot about, you know, keeping them under control.
Yeah.
Not for Lazy Parrots, my new favorite website. And we'll be back tomorrow with some Below Deck Med. And then on Wednesday, we're back with Selling Sunset Season 3. We're watching it one week at a time. We're not binging it because we want to savor the experience. So Episode 1 of Season 3 is going to be on Wednesday. And then Beverly Hills and New York. It's going to be a great week. So go subscribe. And we'll talk to you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.